That Aramaic term, we don't even have an English word that is as endearing, that encompasses the relationship of a heavenly, loving, compassionate, protective Father. Amen. Pastor and I were talking last night, and I said, you know, that to me, that's one of the great hallmarks of love is protection.
Yes.
Protection.
Amen.
Know this, no matter what you're facing today, no matter what you left when you left home today, God sees you. And his hand is upon you.
Hallelujah.
Psalm 139 says, you know, even if I've run from you. How many of you here have ever run from God?
Yes.
And the rest of you liars. Okay, well, that's fine. You know, there's been times in my life I've run from the Lord. And the psalmist said, you know, if I got up on the wings of the dawn. How many of you have ever, this might be more directed at the testosterone in the room. How many of you guys have ever got up and tried to get out quietly and make a quick escape before she knew you were up, and you avoid the noisy places on the floor? How many of you know where the noisy places on the floor are at your house? He said, even if I get up on the wings of the dawn and I try to go to the other, if I try to go to the other side of, even there you're there. And the fifth verse says, wherever I go, your hand is upon me. Say that, his hand. Everybody look me in the eye a minute. Look me in the eye and tell me, his hand is on me. Today. See, it doesn't matter what you've gone through. Doesn't matter if you've, you know, the scripture says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. I used to think that means that he only is ordering my steps if they're good steps. And I know many steps I've taken have not been good. But the Lord said, you've missed the whole operation of that scripture. If you're familiar with it, he says, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Though he fall, he'll not be cast down. For the Lord upholdeth his right hand. So even if you've made mistakes, and how many of you here have done that?
Yes.
How many of you here have ever been rebellious?
Yes.
Remember, we've quit lying. Take your halo off. How many of you here have ever lied? How many of you here have ever stolen? You've done wrong. The Lord says, even when you do that, even when you take a wrong step, what the devil intended to destroy you with, I will ultimately use for your good.
Amen.
He said, my hand is upon you. And in the 10th verse of that Psalm 139, he says, not only is your hand upon me, you're guiding me. You're guiding me. He said, you hedge me in ahead and behind.
Amen.
How many of you ever played a pinball game?
Yeah.
You got the little flappers?
Yes.
And, you know, the whole deal is you want to keep that ball in motion, you know, before it comes down through the chute. But how many of you know, no matter how hard you hit it, there's always on each side a hedge, ahead and behind, that keeps that ball in. That's what God does with our lives. Even when we're over here bouncing, rebellion, 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 out of line, out of line, out of line. God says, I'm keeping you hedged in because my hand is upon you and I'm directing you. So look me in the eye and say, even today, God is directing me. My feet. I plan my ways, but he directs my feet. And he leads me to good pastures. I always eat good because he's the ultimate shepherd. He is the ultimate shepherd. And you'll never go hungry in the things of your life. And how many of you know we're not always talking about what you put in your mouth that satisfies you? How many of you have learned that? Now, I know in our world we live in this carnal realm, it's what you put in your mouth that satisfies you. But how many of you know the scripture says in Proverbs 18, verse 20, it says, from the fruit of his lips, a man's stomach is satisfied. Now see, we've just said that the way you're satisfied in the natural realm, it's what you put in your mouth. But how many of you know that's a natural truth? But God wants you to move from the natural to the supernatural. Let's divide the room. Everybody from here over, let me hear y'all say, from the natural. Let me hear y'all say, to the supernatural. You see, the natural truth is what you put in your mouth satisfies you. The supernatural truth is, in fact, it's what comes out of your mouth that satisfies you. How could that be? Look at the next verse. He says, for in the tongue is what? The power of what? Can it get any more? Are there any more extremes in this life than life or death? That's as extreme as you can get. How many of you know that's more extreme than Democrat or Republican? That is extreme as it gets, life or death. Everybody look at me. How many of you know God has always been about life or death?
In Genesis 1, he was all about life. He said, as long as you from any of these trees, you live. Even that tree, you die. So from the very beginning, God has been about life or death. Throughout the Old Testament, how many times did he say to Israel, I've called heaven and earth, and they're here to witness that I've set before you a choice. And what was the choice? Life or death. How many of you know on Judgment Day, when we stand before the throne of God, what will it be about?
Life
or death. What's today about? Yeah. What was yesterday about? What will it be about when we get out of church? What was it about before you got here? Everything in this life is either about life or death. And your mouth today is either contributing to life or death in your life. For in the tongue is the power of life and death. Now, I've heard that. I grew up in church. My dad was a preacher. My grandfather was a preacher. I didn't get born again until I was 18 because I was rebellious. I raised my hand a while ago. But I heard truth my whole life. And I've heard this for as long as I can remember, that in the tongue is the power of life and death. By the way, how many of y'all have heard that before?
Yes.
Raise your hand, because if you hadn't heard it before today, you heard it now. But no one ever told me, why is that true? I mean, that's a huge statement, that in your tongue is the power of life and death. And I wish somebody broke it down for me and helped me to understand why that's true. Here's another verse I want you to contemplate. Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And hearing what?
The
hearing the word of God. So, we live in a world that in our mouth is life or death, but in our ear comes faith. Everybody do this. Lean forward. I'm checking to see if you're, ma'am, you don't have your hand up there. You're out of the will of God. Don't make me come back there. Lean forward. If you don't lean forward, you're out of the will of God. Lean forward. There you go. All right. I've played loud guitars my whole life, and I usually always stand with my amp to my right, so my right ear hearing is about 40% of what my left ear is. It's just occupational hazard for 40 years. And my wife and I are talking, and a lot of times I'll go, what? She goes, Kim, put your hand down. I said, well, no, I'm trying to hear what you said. Well, put your hand down. I said, why I'm wanting to hear? Well, you look like an old man. I said, well, I'm just wanting to hear what you say. She said, well, that doesn't help. I said, of course it does. Do that. How many of you know that helps? She says, no, it does. I said, of course it does. When I do that, I can hear better. I said, that's why God put your ears facing forward. Because they're turned towards you. I said, now, if they were facing the other way, you wouldn't hear as well. Nobody talked behind your back, but you wouldn't hear as well. Everybody do this. You know what's crazy is she gives me a hard time because I do this, but this is a woman that if she don't have her glasses, we got to go home. And I told her, when we get really old, we're sitting on the porch in rocking chairs and rock. I said, every conversation we ever have will only be two words. Because I'll be going, what? And she'll be going, where? That'll be it. Everybody do it again. How does faith come? And what are you hearing? But how many of you know for the word to be heard, it has to be spoken? What did we read in Proverbs 18? That in the spoken word is life or death. So these are two of the most powerful truths in all of Christendom. Obviously hooked together, but nobody's ever explained to me why. Why is it that when I hear the word, when I literally hear the spoken word, my faith is built? Well, it's because in the tongue is power of life and death. Yes. Are you with me? Raise your hand if you're getting what I'm saying. How about this? When I was here last time, I think it was in July or August, I preached on Mark 11, verse 20 through 24. Brother Hagin built a ministry on those verses. Can we put that up? Let's look at Mark 11, 20 through 24. It says, in the morning as they went along, they saw the fig tree. Why doesn't it say a fig tree? Well, because earlier, the day previous, they had passed a fig tree and Jesus went to it. What can you reasonably expect to get from a fig tree?
Figs.
So he goes to the fig tree, and what was up with that fig tree? It was figless. You remember, brother. I like that. Everybody put your hand on your hip. Say, you're figless.
You're figless.
How many of you ever known somebody that was figless? I mean,
Clearly, it's none of you. But how many of you know somebody? Put your hand on your hip again and get kind of an incredulous look. You're figless. Jesus goes to this fig tree, and it is indeed figless. And what did he do? Cursed it. But in order to curse it, thank you, brother, he had to speak it. And what happened when he spoke curses to that fig tree? It responded. So much so, the next day they come by and they see the fig tree, and what's up with it? It's withered from the roots. Now you may be saying, what? Jesus, who loves everybody, who laid hands on the sick and they recovered, and the lame could walk, and the deaf could hear, and the mute could speak, and the dead became alive. He cursed his fig tree. I can hear people who are into protecting the earth all over just having meltdowns. All the snowflakes of America are just brokenhearted. He cursed a defenseless poor fig tree. And what happened when he cursed it? It responded. It heard. It had no choice. Because in the tongue is the power of what? Life and death. Now look at the next verse. When that happens, Peter looks and remembers. What does he remember? That this is the tree Jesus cursed. And he goes, Shazam! That's in the New Redneck Translation. Shazam! The fig tree you cursed has withered. Did Jesus walk over there and go, golly? No, what did Jesus do? Look at the next verse. He says, have faith in God. How many of you have the real accurate representation of this is have the God kind of faith? He said, Peter, how long have you been following me? How long have you heard me teach? Have the God kind of faith. Now let me ask you by a show of hands, how many of you believe that right now as you're seated there, you have the same faith as God? Raise your hand. Some of you immediately put your hands up. Others of you were taking stock visually. Let's see, what's Pastor doing? Okay, well then I'm in. The fact is, you literally have the same faith God has. Is that in the Bible? Say that. Is that in the Bible? Come on, ask it like your brother-in-law would. Where is that in the Bible? Romans 12:3 tells us he gave unto every man the measure of faith. So by deductive reasoning, men, draw on your inner Sherlock. Ladies, just do what you do. Be discerning. If God's passing out faith, what kind's he giving out? Is he going to Big Lots to get it? No. He's giving you his faith. So say it. I got the God kind of faith. Everybody in this section, say it.
I got the God kind of faith.
Y'all can do better.
I got the God kind of faith.
Let me hear y'all. Let me hear y'all. Everybody in the room.
I got the God kind of faith.
You do. You have the God kind of faith. So Jesus now looks at Peter and says, haven't you been listening? You've got the God kind of faith. Look at the next verse. He says, if you understood that, you wouldn't be standing there marveling at a fig tree. You would in fact be doing what? Speaking to what? You'd be talking to mountains. Now, just so I'm sure I got the right demographic, how many of you in this room have a mountain in your life? Some of us have a whole range of them. What did Jesus tell you to do? Did he tell you to climb it? See, type A people, I must go to the top. Give me a flag, Harriet. I'm going to the top. Your mountain could be diabetes. Your mountain could be glaucoma. Your mountain could be I have cancer. Your mountain could be we're in debt. Or your mountain be we need a home. Your mountain may be we've not been able to conceive. Your mountain may be we've conceived. Whatever your mountain is, what did Jesus tell you to do? Did he say climb it? So if you've been climbing the mountains in your life and you've never made it to the top and you feel like a failure, you're not. It's just you've not been doing what God told you to do.
You've been following your type A personality. You're the one who honks the horn when it's green, it's green, it's green. God didn't tell you to climb your mountain, did he? What did he tell you to do? Now there's others of you right now going, you tell them, preacher. Tell them, preacher. Because you're knowing you've never climbed anything in your life. Because you avoid all trouble at all cost. Your mantra is, give me that GPS. There's a way around this. And some of you have spent your whole life trying to go around and circumvent trouble. How's that worked out? You've yet to make it to the other side, have you? And now you feel like a failure because you've not made it to your destination. But you're not. It's just that you're not doing what God told you to do. You've been going around your mountain. What did he tell you to do? Speak to it. He said, if you believe in your heart and you don't doubt, but whatever you ask for in prayer, if you believed it, you will have it. You can tell the mountain, move. How many of you remember when I was here, I had all of you by section stand up and point at your mountain and say, move. Everybody point right now, just figuratively to your mountain and say it, move. So why would Jesus say something like this? This seems bizarre. And admittedly, it is. It's supernatural. See, it's natural to climb your mountain. It's natural to go around the obstacle. It's supernatural to speak to it. And God said, move, let me hear y'all say, from the natural. That's what this whole deal is about. It's why you come to City on a Hill. You're learning how to do the supernatural, which is to speak to your mountain. So my strong counsel to you is this. Don't get up every day of your life. Don't get up and look at your mountain with your mouth shut. See, that's why many of you had the same mountain in your life for decades. It's because you're looking at your mountain and you're doing everything but what God told you to do. You're doing everything but speak to it. Speak to your mountain. Don't face your mountain with your mouth shut. If you understand what I'm saying, wave your hand like this. So I still want to ask, why is it true that in the tongue is the power of life and death? Why is it true that if you hear the spoken word, it builds your faith? And how could it possibly be that you could speak to a mountain and it would move? So today, I want to give you the etymology of that. I want to go back to the source. I want to go back where this principle originated. And how many of you know that would have to be in the beginning? Can we agree? Genesis 1, literally, the beginning. A couple, 3 years ago, God spoke and he said, every answer, everybody look at me because I want you to hear this. He said, every answer for mankind is found in Genesis 1, 2. By that, I mean Genesis 1st chapter, 2nd chapter. Because how many of you know, he gave Adam and Eve everything they needed. They could be sitting next to you today if they'd obeyed what he said in Genesis 1 and 2. But by Genesis chapter 3, they had disobeyed, and he has essentially spent the rest of the Bible, the other 65 and 3/4 books, trying to get us back to a place of relationship that he had with Adam and Eve from the beginning. So he said to me, every answer you need for your life is in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. And here we're going to find the origin of this mindset and this principle that in your mouth is the power of life and death. In your mouth is the ability to move mountains. So it starts in Genesis 1, verse 3. Genesis 1, 3. Now, I'll tell you for the sake of time, verses 1 and 2 tells us in the beginning the world was void. It was covered with darkness, right? Yes. Then in verse 3, Genesis 1, 3, what happens that had not happened as far as human history is recorded? What happens? God speaks. Notice what he said is in quotes. From that, in other words, we know he didn't just say this telepathically. He wasn't thinking it. He wasn't willing it. He didn't gesture. He literally spoke. That's why it's in quotes. And what did he say? Let there be light. Now, perhaps you've been taught that he created light, which isn't untrue. It's just not the whole truth. The whole truth is he didn't have to so much create it. He just released it. Because his mouth is the source of all light. Selah. Think about that a minute. Say every time.
Every time.
Say it every time. Every time God opens his mouth, light comes out. He opens his mouth, light. And you haven't seen an LED light that's as bright as the light that comes out of God's mouth. Think how bright the sun is. His mouth is the source of that. Stroke your beard and say, that's bright. So he simply opens his mouth and light comes out. And that's not only true then, that's true today. When God opens his mouth, light comes out. Now look at verse 6. How does verse 6 begin? And God said. Let's look at verse 9. How does verse 9 begin? How about verse 14? How many of you see a pattern here? I want you to be thinking, because I'm going to ask you in a minute, why do these specific verses begin, and God said? Why don't the others begin that way? Let's go to verse 20. Anybody so far, I may have talked about this when I was here before, I don't remember. Why do these verses, 3, 6, 9, 14, and 20, begin, and God said, but the other verses don't? Theme from Jeopardy. Exactly. You're exactly right, sir. Every one of these verses mark a day of creation. And how many of you know you don't have creation until God opens his mouth? But when he opens his mouth, light comes forth and life. Look in verse 20. Now he's creating living things. I've skipped where he separates the waters and he speaks life even to the waters. But now he's speaking to living things. It says, and God said, let the water, you got to love this word, teem. Yeah. Any fishermen here, or fisherwomen? David, don't you love it when you go and the water is teeming? Teeming with fish. How did the waters get filled with fish? How did they teem? Notice quotes. Look at 6, 9, 14, and 20. Every one of those verses, you will see quotes because God is speaking. And here he says, let the water teem. So how many of you know when he said teem, it was teeming? Yeah. Y'all ever seen pictures of when like piranha come to the surface? And I just visualize the water being alive with fish. He said, let the birds fly above the earth and across the vault of the sky. So here you got to see, you got the waters filled with fish. You got the skies filled with birds. But not a one of them had ever laid an egg. Stroke your beard again. Say, Not only had they not laid an egg, they never would have had what happened next not happen. Look at verse 21. So God created all the creatures of the sea. Every living thing with which the water teems, and all that moves about it according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And what did God see? He saw it was good. Now look at the next verse. And God what? And how did he bless them? Quotes. He literally spoke to them and said, be fruitful. If he hadn't said that, we'd have had the same fish, the same finite number of fish, from that day to this. If you understand what I said, raise your hand. But how many of you know they proliferate? Why? Because they heard. Put your hand up there. Lean forward. Y'all weren't here when I did this. Put your hands up here. Thank you. That's right. The birds, the fish heard. All of creation hears. You see, the reason there's life and death in the tongue is because God created a world that from the beginning responded to the spoken word. Amen. All of creation, not just you, not just your mountains, but birds and fish and trees and water did what he said. That's powerful. When you get the revelation of that, now you understand why in the tongue is the power of life and death. The whole world responds to the spoken word. That's why he literally, how many of you know, to this point, there's not another human to hear it. But he's still speaking it. Because creation hears. Come on, y'all. Man, if you get the fullness of that, now you know why the scripture says all of creation moans and groans for the sons of God to be revealed. Because how many of you understand when Adam and Eve sinned, not only did they fall under the curse, all of creation did. And creation to this day is moaning and groaning because it is under a judgment of God from the sin of Adam and Eve. Wave a hand if you're getting what I'm saying. So God created a world that from the beginning responded to the spoken word. Amen? Even animals. Even birds. How many of you here got a dog? Tell us about Tommy. I'm a dog lover. So, I mean, Tommy matters to me. I don't care what kind of spitz he is. How many of you here are animal lovers? Even if you don't think of yourself that way, go ahead and raise your hand by faith. Because I've heard people say, y'all don't have any cats, do you? I hate cats. Oh, I hate dogs. And I'm thinking, you're born again? No, I'm not joking. I don't think if you're born again, you should ever confess you hate anything God created. Because what does the Bible tell us? Everything he created, he looked at and said what? And I believe he knows more about dogs and cats than you. Doesn't mean you have to own one or have to feed one or any of that. But don't try telling yourself a lie that they're not good and that therefore you can hate them. Don't do that. Oh, I don't believe just because you say something like that. You know, I like Brother Kim. He's loud and he's noisy and big. But I just don't believe just because you say something. I don't like people like that. They're just always policing what you say. Don't say that. I don't like that. I don't believe that way. Well, you may not. But you don't think what you say matters? There are men in this room right now who have purchased a perfectly good bed and yet have slept on the couch. Why? Because of something they said. Don't tell me what you say doesn't matter. Of course it does. Marriages have ended because of what somebody said. People are in counseling all over the planet because of what somebody said or didn't say. People shoot people, murder people because of what somebody said. Of course what you say matters. And the reason it does is because of verse 26. Look at verse 26 of this same chapter. Genesis 1, verse 26. Then God said what? Now I remember talking about this before. What's a little weird about his sentence there? Us. He's speaking in the plural. God said, let us make man in our image. Does God have issues? Well, the fact is, he is plural. He's a Trinity. He's three in one. He's the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen? Everybody in this side of the room say, he's a Trinity. With an exclamatory from the back of the throat. He's a Trinity. But now as you look here, the scripture says he made us in his image. So if
he's a Trinity.
This side of the room, what do we know about us? Yes. If
we're a Trinity.
Everybody over here say it. I'm a Trinity. Again, with like surprise and alarm. I'm a Trinity. You indeed are. And why are you a Trinity?
Because God's a Trinity.
He's a Trinity. And you're created in his image. He's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You are spirit, soul, and body. If you're a car guy, it's more than you're built on the same chassis. No, it's deeper than that. You're created in his image. And what does that mean? Well, when he spoke, things happen. And when you speak, for better or worse, things happen. Wave your hand and say, I know that's right. And by the way, he said it. Let us make man in our image. So you're created in the image of God. So even as he creates with his mouth, so do you. Say it. God created the world. I create my world. Let's look each other in the eye. And go ahead and tell me. It'll do you good to hear your mouth say it. Say, I create the world I live in. If you're married, you got the marriage you got because of the way you speak to your mate. Drive safely, everybody. Did everybody leave on that one? And not anybody shouted me down with an amen there. Y'all would have said, oh. Is he in the car driving over here? How many of y'all have ever gotten an argument on the way to church? Right till you get to the parking lot. How you doing? Blessed and highly favored. I'll deal with you after church. Blessed and highly favored. Say it. I create the world I live in with my mouth. Got the kids you got because of the words you speak over them. You got the bank account in your life because of the things you speak over your own finances. What did God say about you? He made a covenant with Abraham and he said, I'm going to bless you. Right? And by the way, when he blessed something, what does it do? It produces. That's why he cursed the fig tree. How many of you know he didn't have to go around and individually bless every fig tree? Look at me. All he had to do was bless the first one, and that residual has remained for all of time. How many of you understand he didn't have to breathe life into you? He did that to Adam and Eve, and that residual's been there for all time. Stroke your beard again. Say it. That's good. This is good preaching, y'all. Y'all not shutting me down enough. It's true. He only had to speak it once and it was in place forever. But how many of you know some things have never produced? He cursed the fig tree. Can you think of an occasion in the Bible where someone had never produced? Fast forward. How about Abraham and Sarah? At the time they got the promise from God, Abraham's 90, Sarah's 80. They'd never had a baby together. And God took Abraham out on a walk on the beach. How many of you here have ever gone to the beach for vacation? How many of you like going out there and walking in the beach barefoot? Is there any other way? How many of you understand? How many of you love the feeling of that wet sand squishing up between your toes? Good. I may have told y'all this story, but I was in Myrtle Beach a couple of years ago in February. It's like 50 degrees in the morning. It was cold. It didn't matter to me. I'm on the beach. And I got out and I thought, before any of the sessions this morning I'm teaching, I'm going out here walking on this beach barefoot. And I did. And I'm out there and there's hardly anybody out there. But I saw this couple several hundred yards away from me walking towards me. And as I looked, I thought, is it? He does. And as they got closer to me, I had plenty of time to think about it. When they got up to me, I waited until they were right up to me reading. I went, what are those? And they both looked at me shocked because the man was wearing mandals. And I said, what are those? And he had on socks. With them. Black socks. How many know that is as grievous an error as one can commit on the beach? He not only has on sandals or mandals, as I like to call them, he has black socks on. And I said, what are those? And they both stopped and looked at me, and he was like, I'm sorry? I said, you heard me, what are those? And they're both looking at me like, do we know you? I said, why are you wearing those mandals and socks? He still looked at me in shock. His wife went, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you. She said, I told him when we left the hotel, I wasn't going to walk with him before. I said, take those off. Take them off right now. They'd never seen me before. She said, you heard him. Take them off. And he did. But if you've ever been out there walking in wet sand, how many of you like to pick up? How many of you know it's wet, it all sticks together?
But what happens if you spread it about? It dries, and what do you realize? That handful of sand is actually made up of millions of little crystals. Just in one palmful. God took Abraham out and scooped up sand and said, check that out. Said, see that? That's going to be your kids, kids, kids. Amen. Here's a man's 90, he's never fathered a child. And God's talking about his four and five generations down the line. How many of y'all have ever sung that song, Father Abraham? Yeah. Well, this is where that all started. Then the Lord took him out and looked at the stars. How many of you know when it's clear? Anybody here live in the country? In the country, you can go out and see some stars, can't you? City folk don't understand. But you can go out there on a clear night, and if you look long enough, how many of you know you see stars beyond stars? God said, that's the way you will be with all of your children to generations. Remember the song says he had many sons, and I am one of them, and so are you. Right? But how many of you know if you're 90 and your wife's 80, there was a country song out a few years ago said it's a little late to do the right thing now. How many of y'all have ever heard that song? You know, little too late to do the right thing. Yeah, seriously, how many of you know if you'd have been together at Thanksgiving and your grandparents said, all right, children, gather around. Nan and I got an announcement to make. It's exactly what happened. No, I mean, that is exactly. Of course, 10 more years passed before it did. So when he's 100 and she's 90, they brought forth Isaac. You see, things which have never produced before, like the birds and the fish with which the water was teeming, will produce once they're blessed. But how's the blessing come? Put your hand up there. Lean forward. Yes, lean forward. Right. Abraham and Sarah. In fact, when she heard it, she laughed. I like that he didn't. He's like, yeah, that's the way I roll. Sarah laughed. She might have been laughing at him. Who knows? But when something is blessed, even if it's never produced before, it'll produce. Why? Because God put it in place from the beginning. He spoke to everything he created. How many of you know he said, I'm going to give you trees that bear fruit and some that bear a nut with which you can eat? How many of you know he's not having to re-bless apple trees and fig trees? And all? How many of you know they got it one time? It's all they needed. That's why he was able to curse that one. Now, what's significant about that tree that he cursed that withered from the ground up, from the roots up? Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Apart from me, you can bear no fruit. Right? Yes. He said, if you're not hooked to me, because how many of you have ever had a storm and limbs fell down in your yard? Yeah. And what did you do when they fell down? Did you look out there and go, oh, that's unfortunate? You may have until your wife said, you need to get them branches up. And when you gathered them up, what'd you do with them? Yeah, you put them in a pile and burned them. Did you have to fast and pray about what should we do? Let's Google this. What should we do? I just don't know. No, because from the beginning, God said, when you have something that's not producing, it dries up and withers. Everybody knows you put it in a pile and you burn it. How many know that's an archetype for all of humanity? Because ostensibly what God is saying is on Judgment Day, I'm going to look at you. And how many of you know he's not going to look at you and go, what a 401k you had. Very impressive. Enter in. Are we going to be judged on that? Don't you marvel today how many people are concerned about what they eat? And I'm not saying we shouldn't be, but how many of you know there are people out there who look at you and go like, are you going to eat that? You know that has wheat gluten in it. You're going to drink that? Do you realize there's no food value in that? You're just taking poison into your body. And people are so concerned about what they put in their mouth. When we stand before the throne of God, is he going to look at us and go, David, these cholesterol numbers. They're disconcerting. And Kim, I'm not even going to mention this body mass index. This is troubling. Is that what we're going to be judged by? What does the Bible say? What did Jesus say you'll either be acquitted or condemned by? By your words. How could that be? Because in the tongue is the power of life and death. And because you're created in His image, you've had every right, you've had every opportunity to either choose life or death. In fact, where you are in your life right now is all a function of the choices you've made. Wave your hand if you got that. How many of you have ever heard people say, I don't know why this happened? Yeah, you do. It's the choices that you've made that culminates here. Are y'all, do you believe that?
Yes.
Of course. God will not be mocked. You will reap what you sow. Amen?
Amen.
So no matter what, how many of you know you can't call time out on any of this? Time out. Remember when we were kids? I called time. There is no time out in life. Susan and I have horses. And one of the things that she's taught me is she said, Kim, understand this. Every time you touch that horse, you're teaching him something. See, in your mind, you're in a hurry and you're just going to walk him from the barn out there to the pasture. But he don't know that. He said, this is Daddy. Daddy must want me to learn something here. So she said, never do something that you don't want them to get. Because you're teaching them something every time you touch them. Can we be real? Isn't that the truth with your kids? Can you ever go, time out? Son, I'm putting you in time out and I'm calling time out myself. No. Say every time.
Every time.
Every time you open your mouth. Everybody act like you've got a bag of seed here. About a 10-pound bag of seed. Hold it in your hand. Now do like that. Tip a little out. Do I need to come back there? You're doing it. Okay, good. She said, he is crazy. Do it. Y'all know what she's thinking right now. I'm going to tell you right now what she's thinking. She's thinking, I'm on the back row. This is a violation of some sort. I'm untouchable back here. Everybody get your bag of seed. Dump a little out. How many of you know every time you open your mouth, are you done? Yes. I see. She wanted me to see hands out from under the blanket. Kim, they are moving. How many of you know every time you open your mouth, you're dumping out seed? What are you going to get in your life if you're planting apple seed? What are you going to get in your life if you're planting ragweed? Come on, y'all. If you got ragweed in your life, it's not a shock. Why? That's the seed you've been sowing. It's true. You'll have what you say. How many know that can be a blessing or a curse? And whose choice would that be? Say it. I get to decide. Let me hear all the married men in here say that for a minute. All brothers in the struggle. Every one of them. Say it again, guys. I like how some of them kind of glanced at their wife first. He said I could say that, baby. You know, the first 20 years of my life, I thought I knew what I wanted to eat, where, and when. And then I got married. And my wife said, you're delusional. I'll tell you what you want to eat. We go places now, and I thought, do I like that? Yes, you like it, Kim, don't you? She'll still look at me sometime and go, baby, where you want to eat? And somewhere inside, there's still a part of me that's like marching bands. And she asked me. And so when she asked me, I think she really wants to know, baby, where do you want to eat? And so foolishly, I tell her. Guys, let me ask you, does she ever go, Kim, that is a marvelous idea? No. She'll go, no. A lot of times she reads my mind and she'll go, And don't say, and she'll name the place I was going to say. Has that ever happened, Royal? Every day. And he still, like the little engine that could, every day he said, well, let me try this again. And so a lot of times I'll tell a second place, and she's like, are you? No. No. She'll say, is that the only three places you can think of? And so what do we say at that point, guys? We're and let me further underline, how many of y'all noticed the women knew our line then? And I've come to understand it's because they've written the script. And what's crazy is we play along every time. Well, where do you want to eat, baby? She'll always ask me, she said, Kimmy, where do you want to eat? And I said, I don't know, I'm not authorized to. My wife always makes those decisions. Well, help me think. She says, go through all the places I don't want. Now, that I can do. That list is innumerable. If y'all tell her any of this, I'll deny it totally. So you're created in the image of God, and with your mouth, you either bless or you curse. Right? If you got a son that didn't do good in school, does this work? What's wrong with you? You ain't got a brain in your head, do you, boy? Every time I look at you, I can tell what's on your mind, son. Nothing. Does that immediately change him from a C to an A? No. That's probably right. That's the direct route to an F. That's a direct route to I don't care. I quit. I'm a loser. I can't do anything right. And there are kids all over this world, all over this county, that's all they've ever heard. But how many of you understand, if you spoke a blessing, because remember now, what do we know? Things that have never produced will produce when they're blessed. Think Abraham and Sarah. Think birds and fish. If they're blessed, they produce. Well, what do I say? Well, let me give you all a practice run. Everybody look at your hands. Front and back. Say, boy, I got blessed hands. Say it, I got blessed hands. Say, everything I touch prospers for His name's sake. Now imagine if you spoke that over your kids. Well, they're grown. All the more. My grandfather lived to be 98. Preached 78 years. And he and my grandmother were married over 70 years. And he was happy every day. Hallelujah. And I don't see how some of the time, because she could be hard to live with. And I asked him once, I said, you're always smiling. How is that? He said, well, it's easy. I just do whatever she tells me. She died 3 months before him. And she'd never had an aspirin in her life. Wow. She'd never taken any medicine, not even an aspirin. I know you think I'm lying when I say that, but I'm standing in the pulpit speaking to you in church, and I'm telling you, she'd never even taken an aspirin. And so she died, and when she did, about 3 months later, I live in Tennessee. He lived down here in Atlanta. My dad, who also lived in Atlanta, called me and said, son, you need to come down here. Grandpa says he's ready to go home. I said, like, die? He said, yeah. I said, well, what's wrong with him? He said, we don't think anything. He's just decided. And so I said, okay. And then that next morning, I got my son, and I said to my dad, I said, meet me at Grandpa's house. And so I went in there, and he was, first of all, it was kind of neat. He was sleeping in the guest bedroom. As many times as I was in that house, never been in the guest bedroom. And he was in there, and I said, why are you sleeping in here? He said, I can't sleep in there where we did. And I said, well, Dad says that you're ready to go home. Yeah. I said, why? He said, well, there's nobody here to tell me what to do. Parenthetically, I'll tell you a quick story. At his funeral, a police officer came to me, and he said, we're going to pass three counties from where they did his, where the funeral home was to where he was buried. And he said, I'm with this original county. And he said, I will, on motorcycle, I will lead you. And even though we're going to hand off to these other counties and they'll have police escorts to take you through those counties, he said, I'm going to be the constant. I'm going to go with you the whole way. And he said, this is your grandfather? I said, yes. He said, he was a trip. I said, he was. He said, that little white car he drove around everywhere, he said, all of us knew that car. That's Reverend Clout. We all knew that little car. And he said, he was so funny. I said, he was. He said, well, I got to tell you a story one time. He said, I'm driving along, and he said, I saw that little white car. And he said, I knew that's Reverend and Miss Clout in the car there. He said, and he was driving. All of a sudden, he put the brakes on, and then he stopped, and he went. And then the left turn signal was on, and then the right turn signal was on. Then he went, and then he stopped. And he said, I watched him. He said, I thought, he said, I actually pulled him over because he said, I was afraid he's having a stroke. His driving was so erratic and irregular. And he said, I pulled him over, and he said, I went up to the car, and he said, I said, Reverend Clout, are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. He said, well, the reason I stopped you is because the way you're driving. And he said, your grandpa said, oh, I'm not driving. So you left, talk to her. She's the one driving. Isn't that great? And so he said, there's nobody here to tell me what to do. But he said, I'm ready to go. And I said, well, you can't go until you bless me. And until you bless my son, but I know God does things in order, so I want you to bless Dad first. So Grandpa's 98. My dad was probably 70 at the time. And he got on his knees in front of Grandpa. And he laid hand. We have pictures. And he blessed my dad, and then he blessed me, and then he blessed my son. Why did I do that? Because there's power in a parental blessing. Look at your hands again. Tell me about your hands. Say it. I got blessed hands. Tell your kids that. Tell your kids that. My youngest son's 31. His name's Dakota. By the time when he was in the womb, he's adopted. When he was in the womb of the teenage girl that was living in our home, her last 5 months of her pregnancy, she lived in our home. And we used to speak to him in her belly. How many of you understand what I'm saying? And we'd say, you're blessed of God. And when he was born, and as soon as he had understanding, I started training him. And every night before we went to bed, I went in there, I said, show me your hands. I said, tell me about your hands, son. I got blessed hands. I said, what about your feet? I got blessed feet. It was great fun for the first year or two. When he got about 6 or 7, I go in there, I said, let me see your hands. Dad! I said, show me your hands. Tell me about your hands. I got blessed hands. I said, you do? How many of you know if you spoke that over your sons and your daughters, you could turn some things? Amen. Pastor prayed in his office before we came out here. He said, let today be a day of breakthrough for people who are here. Let today be a day of change. The Lord gave me the word intersection. Let today be a day that you enter an intersection in your life and the direction of your life changes. How does that happen? Your life will always go in the direction of your mouth. How many of you want to change your life for the better? Hallelujah. We're already a month through with 2019. How many of y'all still putting 2018 when you write stuff? Well, we're a month through. How many of you want 2019 to be better than 2018? Well, what's going to change? Well, I made some resolutions. Back in December, I decreed it. No more chocolate. No more chocolate. None of that. I'm getting up every morning and I'm buying a treadmill. And every morning I'm getting up at 5 and I'm walking 10 miles on the treadmill. And no more chocolate. Now, tonight's the Last Supper, you understand. But starting tomorrow, how many know that's what they're saying on December 20th, 25th, 28th? Go to their house on the 20th of January. 11 o'clock in the morning, still in bed. Hershey wrappers all over the floor. And what is on the treadmill? Clothes are hanging. And 2 cases of Cokes. Lined up individually. He just cuts it on. They come to him in a line right there. How many of y'all have ever seen a used treadmill that had actually been used? Every ad for a treadmill. Used treadmill, hardly used. Like new. A resolution won't change your life. Change how you talk. Change your life. Wave a hand and say, I know that's right. How many of you want to how many of you want to be more healthy in 2019? Change how you speak over your body. I'm about to die. My back's killing me. My head's killing me. You know, I believe I've got diabetes. You know, Daddy had it. All my uncles had it. You know, everybody in our family died from a heart attack. Give me that calendar. I want to pencil mine in. No. Guard your mouth. How many know the Bible says Jesus broke the curse of sin and death? How many of you know he even broke the curse of bad parenting? Your parents may have been terrible parents. They may not have loved you like they should have. But you can say, hey, you know what? Starting right here, going forward, that curse is broken in our family. Because I'm going to speak life over my children. I'm going to bless my kids. And kids in my life who have never produced will produce when I speak life to them. Do this. Because how many of you know we got a whole world that responds? Did you know even water responds to the spoken word? I was reading about a study they did, I think, in Switzerland. Switzerland or Sweden. I don't remember which. A lot of times in my mind, they're pretty much the same. I know they're not. But Switzerland or Sweden, one of the ones, they took water from the same source, put in two separate vials. They put one in a dark room where it never saw light, and all it heard were loud noises and literal human curses. The other they put in a light room where it heard wonderful uplifting music and heard blessings. And do you know they took the two vials of water, and molecularly they were different. How many of you have seen and heard of the same thing with plants? How many know there's a difference when you talk to your dog? When you talk loving and when you don't. What did you do? Right? Who's a good boy? Ears lay back, tail wags. We had a little chihuahua. Her name was Sophie. And she'd get so excited when her tail would wag. She only weighed 3 pounds. Her back legs would come off the ground. The whole world responds to the spoken word. Your world will respond to the spoken word. Speak life. Speak blessings. Literally, let this be the day. What is this, the third? Let February 3rd be the international dateline of your life. Where you look at everything through the prism of, you know what, everything changed in my life on February 3rd. Because up to that point, I didn't know. I just said the kind of things I'd heard my daddy say. We're going under. We can't afford this. We'll never make it. Every car I get tears up. What's going to break now? No. I stopped that. Amen. And now I speak life. Amen. I speak that everything I touch prospers. Yes. I speak that I have favor with every man I meet. Yes. That I have favor with God. Yes. I speak that God is my sun and shield and withholds nothing good from me because he's made my walk blameless. Yes. I rule and reign with him in this life. He causes me to walk in the heavenly places. He said I could have days of heaven on earth. He said, I'm a lender and not a borrower. I come in blessed, I go out blessed. I lay down blessed, I get up blessed. Whether I'm out in the country, I'm in town, I'm blessed. Amen. Let this be the day you speak life. So now when you read, in the tongue is the power of life and death. Always remember, it goes all the way back to Genesis 1. From the beginning. And how many of you know if it was true then, it's true now. Wave a hand and say, I know that's right. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. For it is with the heart that one believes, but it is with the mouth you confess unto salvation. I never assume because people in church, they know Jesus. Because I know how long I went to church when I did not know Jesus. I knew about him. I'd heard preaching about him all my life. But I had never said, I'm a sinner and I admit it. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior. I did that, and my life changed. In an instant, I was delivered from drugs and alcohol. Never went to a rehab of any kind. 10-step, 12-step, any step. I was like 40 steps to the altar. Boom. So there may be somebody in this room, heads bowed, eyes closed. There may be somebody in this room that although you've come to church for years, you don't ever remember a time that you stopped everything and said, you know, Father, I admit I have sinned. And I want to confess it. And I want you to forgive me. And I want you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. There are things in my life I can't fix. Things that are broken I can't repair. Come into my heart and do for me what I can't do for myself. If you've never done that, then there's no question you're not born again, because that's the only way it happens. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father unless he goes through me. You don't get to heaven because you do good. You can do all the good you want to do. It's the blood of Jesus that saves you. So just because you loan people money and they don't have to pay you back, and you don't lie and you don't cheat on your income taxes, won't get you to heaven. Only Jesus. He said, no man gets to the Father unless he comes through me. I'm the only gate. So as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, this can really be an intersection for you if you're honest with yourself and say, you know what? I've never prayed that prayer. I've never told Jesus and confessed that I've sinned. I've never told him, forgive me. I've never asked him into my heart. I've never said, be my Lord and Savior. And remember, that's how it happens. Paul said, it's with your heart you believe, but it's with your mouth you make that confession. So if you're here today, here's what's cool. You don't have to stand in any lines. There's no forms to fill out. You simply believe that in your heart, that God wouldn't lie, that what he said is true. And then when he says he'll forgive you and put you as far as the east is from the west, from your sins, from the you used to be, that you can go out different than the way you came in. So I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not make you come to the front or stand up or anything like that. I'm just going to pray with you right where you're seated. But if you're here today and you're ready to say, come into my heart, Father. Forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior. Help me to live a life that's pleasing to you. If that's you, I want you to do something simple. Right where you're seated, just raise your hand where I can see it. Do it right now. Just high enough where I can see it. I'm only going to wait a minute because you know I see it. Sir, you can put it down. Intercessors, pray. God's moving. This is the most important part of this entire day. Most important part of eternity for at least one person in this room. And I'm not going to rush. The night I got saved, the man had to ask three times before I responded. So there may be somebody else here. That knocking on your heart is the Holy Spirit saying, this is for you. You don't have to blow through this intersection. Your life can change right now with one word, yes. When you say yes to God. So it's already been one, but I'm going to ask again. Is there anybody else here? You've never asked Jesus in your heart, but you're ready. Just raise your hand where I can see it. Do it now. High enough where I can see it. I just want to pray with you. Is there anybody else? Well, here's the deal. So great is the love of the Father. The Bible says when just one person says yes, every angel in heaven rejoices. And so we have a person this morning whose life is now going to change for all of eternity. And I want them to know how highly we esteem them. I want everyone in this room to pray this prayer out loud with them now. Father, I thank you for loving me.
Father, I thank you for loving me.
For sending Jesus to die.
For sending Jesus to die.
For my sins.
For my sins.
His blood was shed.
His blood was shed.
I know.
For my sins.
But he was resurrected.
But he was resurrected.
So I could have eternal life.
So
I believe that in my heart.
I believe that in my heart.
Say it. I believe that in my heart.
I believe that in my heart.
And I confess it with my mouth.
And I confess it with my mouth.
I came in lost.
I'm going out
found.
I
came in dead.
I'm
going out alive in Christ.
I came in
a victim. I'm going out a victor.
Everything in my life
is changed from the inside out from this moment forward. And I will never look back. In Jesus' name. Church, can we give God glory for this person this morning? Come on. That's better than anything that'll happen in